You're listening to Siren Radio on the time that you choose, or maybe the time that you happen to be listening between 5 and 6 on a Tuesday evening. It's time for American Cousins. It's time to press various buttons, but I'm looking at the screen and it's redirecting me. It's not going to the man cave. It's going somewhere else. But will we find Bruce K. Rosenblum at the end of this long wiggly wire? Are you there, Bruce?
I am here, and you're correct, Andrew. I'm not in the man cave today. I'm about 200 miles south of the man cave.
Goodness.
In a city called Oceanside, California, which is nestled right north of a city called Carlsbad, or a better known city is San Diego.
Ah, yes.
And Oceanside is famous for the fact that it sits on one of the biggest Marine bases in the United States, the Camp Pendleton United States Marine Base here.
Goodness.
Which is a major training site for troops that are just stopping off on their way to war, basically, to the Middle East more recently. And if you get transferred to Pendleton, you know you're on your way somewhere in the world.
Goodness gracious me.
So you can tell it's a military town. Every corner, there's a barber shop on every corner offering military cuts. So
a big
hair cutting business. You know, there's no there's nothing fancy about it. You know, you go in and you get it all shaved off and you're done.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, and I remember when we travel up to 29 Palms, where there's a very big Marine base up there. And again, the main street has dozens and dozens of shops and stores, all focused on mostly young men who are getting ready to go out and serve their country. And yes, you said the barbers are there, and they have a different price range for people in the military, I happen to notice. Not that there's much subtlety in the haircut.
Right, not much subtlety at all in the haircuts. And then, of course, you have another big military base in California. As you head towards through San Bernardino County and on your way to Las Vegas, as you know, there's a wonderful little 50s diner about 150 miles or about halfway from the man cave to Vegas,
yes,
known as Peggy Sue's. But more importantly, across from Peggy Sue's diner is the United States Marine Logistics Base in Yermo, which is basically where all the military equipment is then meted out to various parts of the country and the world, the tanks and the jeeps and all that. So it's a pretty high security and active area down there as well.
Absolutely.
So, California is a real Marine state for the most part.
And we have to be very careful, because if suddenly we are cut off, it means that we've been listened to by various agencies and they don't like us giving away their secrets. However, it has to be said, the place you've just described next to Peggy Sue's is just so big, you can't ignore what's there. And these places, I mean, we're used to them here in Lincolnshire. We've got lots of RAF bases and RAF Waddington and places like that, but they're tiddly in comparison with the size of the stuff you've got.
Right, yeah. And Peggy Sue's, this little 50s diner, I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, but you'd have to give them credit, because they actually built something that people need down there, and it's a place to gather, a place that's fun, and I have to admit, the food, you know, it's a must stop on your way.
And I'll tell you what we love the best.
Because the pie and the burgers
absolutely
is really the best. I mean, it's really good.
And the pies are freshly baked. They don't come out of a freezer. I remember talking to them, and you sit on those classic banquette type booths that you can find. But the pies are absolutely stunning. Anyway, I suppose we ought to get on to some important stuff. We've been noticing over the last couple of weeks, the sparkle is still there. You're still energized. You've got your lovely golden doodle. Duke is there. But still hanging around in the background, there's a specter, isn't there, that's overlaying everything, that's trying to make things more upbeat and positive in the Biden administration.
Yeah, there's a lot of distraction going on. It's almost like payback. It's the Republicans now paying back the Democrats for all the 4 years of impeachments and investigations into the corruption of Donald Trump. The only difference this time is that the investigations into the corruption of Donald Trump were warranted, because we knew what he was coming into office. He had a history of being someone who was corrupt, And his actions in the Oval Office were no different than his actions in private life. In fact, they were probably worse. I mean, that's why he was impeached twice and should have been convicted twice, to be honest with you, but didn't happen. But so now it's the GOP's turn. And so they've created this big lie, which we've been talking about, you know, for the past probably year now, and that where Trump has been telling his base that the election was stolen from him, that Biden was not elected fair and square, that there was all sorts of fraud, none of which was proven. I mean, 60 lawsuits were thrown out, recounts of votes were made, but yet it still continues. And how they're finding ways to make this not go away is beyond me. The GOP is going to raise a request in Congress this week or next to question the counting of the electoral votes. Now, anything that they try to propose will force their request to do this will force a debate and waste a full day in Congress on this, but it won't pass because it just needs a simple majority to be overridden. But it's just another public, you know, putting out of this big lie again, just to continue to feed Trump and his ego about this nonsense that he's been spreading about the election. And then there was the Arizona legislature did a recount of Maricopa County because the conspiracy theory is that paper ballots made of bamboo or some nonsense came in from China.
Goodness.
Biden, and that's so they were looking for pieces of bamboo on ballots. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And there has been this slow purge of Republicans out of the GOP who are not supportive of Trump and his lies and the nonsense. It's almost like the Republicans have become the party of Trump. Whether they believe he was wrong, they won't say it, but they'll buy into it for their own political gain because they don't want that base turning against them. They're all using it for their own political existence. Liz Cheney, who opposed Trump and who voted to impeach and convict, was purged out of the number three spot in the GOP hierarchy and replaced by Elise Stepanak from New York, this rotund congresswoman. Who bought into, who became this lackey of Trump's, and he endorsed her. So they had a secret ballot, I guess. They voted Liz Cheney out of the number three spot. They put Elise Stepanak in. And she's been, you know, touting the Trump lie now as well. And not only are they all touting the fact that the election wasn't fair and square now, but they're also saying that the insurrection was just another, a normal tourist day. And they're becoming deniers of what we all saw.
It was on television. We saw it in real time around the world. Every country was taking it because they were utterly appalled. And they're trying to say it was a normal tourist day.
Yeah. And we know Trump incited the insurrection. We know it all. We know where it came from. And even Kevin McCarthy, the number two in the Republican Party, who wants so desperately to be speaker. I call him a spineless piece of blank in a suit, who contributes nothing to California or the United States. You know, he supposedly was on the phone with Trump, you know, telling Trump of his concern and frantically trying to get Trump to do something about it. And now he's denying it. And he's also now he's also opposing legislation to create a bipartisan investigation commission of the insurrection. Unless, of course, they investigate all of the protests for the Black Lives Matter over the summer that were in support of George Floyd, in which, you know, 99% of them were peaceful demonstrations. But he's trying to link the situation in Portland and a situation in one or two in Wisconsin where that young kid came from another state and killed three people in Wisconsin. He's trying to link those things to, you know, to put them on an equal footing as the insurrection. And it's ridiculous. It's not the same. It's totally different what took place. And so, you know, so what's going on is that they're just, you know, there's a concerted effort to attack Biden at every turn. And, you know, to the point that where Trump is crying that, you know, he wants to get credit eradicating the pandemic, because he was in office and was the one that gave the go-ahead to the vaccines. But we all know that Trump ignored the pandemic for the greatest period of time. He basically spread all sorts of falsehoods about the pandemic, and wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that over 500,000 people died in this country from the pandemic. And yet he wants credit for its eradication. It's a shame, because now Biden has done a great job getting the vaccines out, getting them into arms, and pretty much getting this country back to some sense of normality. I think almost too quickly, this country is full bore jumped into going back to where we were a year ago. It's almost like this whole year never happened. It's almost like we're so beyond the pandemic now. It's almost frightening in a way, because they still say that there's a chance it could come roaring back. But because people feel so, you know, that such a burden has been lifted because they've gotten the shots in their arms, restaurants, traffic patterns, shopping centers are all back to normal. And, Trump now wants credit for that. But Biden is kind of moving into his next agenda, which we've talked about, the infrastructure and creating jobs and really moving the country forward and bringing the country together by doing things that will make better bridges, better roads, better quality air, better drinking water. You know, and the Republicans have been, you know, the naysayers at every turn here. And they've become what some are calling the party of no. I mean, everything they're doing is saying no, and that they've publicly stated, Mitch McConnell and others have publicly stated, they're going to fight Biden's socialist agenda at every turn, and that he's being controlled by the progressives and all this other nonsense. Meanwhile, they have no credible solutions of their own. And to me and to others, it's like, you know, isn't this all about compromise? Isn't this, you know, if you have a problem with what Biden's proposing in his legislation, aren't you supposed to sit down and work out a kind of a compromise as to what you will accept and kind of cut out what seems to be too excessive?
Absolutely.
And really get to the point and start working together as a country. It's so unsettling and so unnerving in this country that the politicians can't get along with each other anymore. There's so much hate between these two factions. And it's because the Republican Party isn't the Republican Party that we know it to be. It's not the party of Lincoln anymore. It's not the party, a Republican Party and a Democratic Party that, you know, you can still, you know, have dinner with your friends across the aisle, even if you disagree ideologically.
Absolutely.
And work out a compromise and get good things done. There's none of that anymore. There's so much hate that it's almost like if you're seen associating with somebody from the other side of the aisle, you get extricated from the party. And it's all about Trump. So it's all about this. It's almost like there's this third party that's been created now. There's the party of Lincoln Republicans, and then there's the Trump Republicans, and then there's the Democrats. And the Trump Republicans, you know, it's becoming pretty clear what they stand for. And what they're standing for is kind of a backwards ideology. It's going back to a country that was, you know, it's a white nationalist policy. It's anti-Semitic. It's racist. And to me, it's the, and a lot of people I talk to, it's like, as soon as you hear Trump or someone who's a Trumper, you automatically assume that they're racist and anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant and everything else. And you buy into the fact that the election was rigged. And I'm sorry, Andrew, but that's just, you know,
It grinds you down.
It's not a forward thinking ideology. It's just
not at all. Now, we have some slithers of good news when it comes down to the Dodgers in a minute, but it would be remiss of me not to ask you for your reflection on what is going on in the Middle East, and particularly what's going on in Israel and Gaza, the Gaza Strip, and the bombing that we see nightly or daily, hourly, on our television screens and hear the reports. It must be very painful for you as a Jewish family. But I've sensed there's a sort of disconnect sometimes between the Israeli government and the Jewish nation. And I just wonder, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I just wonder briefly, and I know it must be really painful, just a few moments reflection from you on what you're seeing.
Well, first of all, I just think it's just heartbreaking and sad to see that going on. And regardless of who the groups are, to see, you know, innocent people, children, you know, families getting wiped out in war is always, it's tragic, it's heartbreaking, and there's got to be a way, again, even in situations like this, there's got to be a way to implore some kind of diplomacy and what I guess what they used to call détente.
Yeah, good
finding,
word.
Finding some kind of a common ground to start with and then figure out how to make things better for both sides. Okay, with that being said, my feelings about Israel have changed over the years, particularly with Netanyahu, who I thought was a strong, decisive leader when he came into power years ago. And I kind of liked what he had to say, and I kind of liked the direction he was taking Israel in. You know, I thought he was somebody who was seeking peace in the Middle East and seeking to work towards advancing ideas, sciences, and technologies, which Israel has done so brilliantly. But the one thing that disturbed me the most was his alliance with Trump and his friendship with Trump. And then the most recent times, the corruption charges that have been leveled against him and the way he's been conducting his business. And it just became unsettling to me that Trump, who we know is corrupt, it would be in alliance with Netanyahu. We have such a strong alliance with Netanyahu. It's like, what are these two up to? And I question the whole motives of what each man was doing in each country. Now, I have lots of friends who are Trump supporters only because of how Trump was aligned with Netanyahu over Israel and hated Obama because of his policies in Israel. And that to me, that was somewhat unsettling. The only reason that you're a Trumper is only because of the Israel position and nothing else. You're going to overlook everything else Trump has done, but you're going to love him because of what he's doing for Israel. I don't buy that. I don't think Israel has flaws. They're not a perfect country. And I'm just not going to, you know, throw my support behind Trump because he happens to like Israel. I think that, you know, Biden and Obama got a bad rap on their positions about Israel. I don't think, you know, I think politically they know that it would be a dangerous road to walk down if they took an anti-Israel stance. So I don't think that, I think any American president with half a brain will not help Israel or support the democracy of Israel. So I'm not too concerned about that. So now I watch what's going on there, and I watch it with a bit of a grain of salt because, you know, things happen in the Middle East. It's like it gets quiet for a couple of years, and then it starts up again, and it starts up with different groups, and it starts up for different reasons. And I believe there's an overarching strategy to try to disrupt and take Israel out altogether. And so that disturbs me. But I also question Netanyahu's strategy and what he's doing there because of what he was doing, you know, in regards to his businesses with Trump. Mm. So I'm torn between
deeply conflicted. Yes,
I'm deeply conflicted with what's happening in that region. War is a bad thing. Period. I mean, you know, people who advocate for it and want to do it, unless you've been on the battlefields and you see what actually happens and what happens to people, it's not a pretty sight, and it's something you don't want to happen. But you know, it's almost like, Why can't cooler heads prevail in the Middle East and groups sit down and really hammer out something that will be good for all? So I get conflicted by all this kind of eye for an eye kind of a thing. It's disturbing.
Thank you for being so open and honest, and I'm sure that'll help a lot of people listening, particularly in this country where we are somewhat removed from it, but to hear from someone who's watched it for many, many years and can see it from many different angles. Bruce, thank you for that. Now then, The Dodgers, last week they were, well, your desperation was almost rock bottom. They were not doing very well. Things have changed ever so slightly, haven't they?
Well, they actually went on a winning streak after we last chatted. They've won 6 out of 8 games now.
Hooray!
Which puts them back in the mix. I mean, there's a lot of parity in the Major League Baseball these days. And, with teams that are doing what they call over 500, meaning that they've got more wins than losses. So if you've got 10 wins and 10 losses, you're at a 500 clip, right?
Yep.
But if the Dodgers are playing at almost a 600 clip, which is good. And most of the teams that will make the playoffs at the end of the year will be playing at a 600 clip. That means that they're going to win probably 2/3 of their games and only lose about 1/3.
That looks good to me.
That's kind of where they settle back into right now. But there's a lot of parity because there's a lot of teams right now that are all in that
bracket.
Winning 2 out of 3 kind of a range right now. But the Dodgers just keep getting hit with injuries. So a lot of their major stars. One was hit in the hand with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball the other night.
Ouch.
So he's out for at least a month with a broken hand. One of their pitchers has to have what they call reconstructive surgery on his arm, or what they call Tommy John surgery. Mm. Tommy John was a major league pitcher who tore a tendon in his elbow, and they found a way to repair it. And it takes a year to rehabilitate, but when you come back even stronger.
Wow.
Excuse me. So they had one of their star pitchers went down with that surgery. One of their top players has a fractured leg, so he's rehabbing and hopefully will come back soon. But it's another one just tore his labrum in his shoulder. So it's like one after the other, like they're like falling like dominoes.
No. Okay.
They're still managing to win. And,
That's good.
But they've opened the food concessions at the stadium.
Yes. So tell us about the Dodgers.
Well, your dogs apparently taste different. But then again, that should be no surprise because it's a different company making the hot dogs. So.
Different flavorings.
Different flavor. But I have yet to be there in person to taste it. But as soon as I do, I will let you know what it's like.
Oh, we can't wait to come over and just sample the Dodger dog again, especially as you've described the way that when you buy them, you marinate them for hours in vats of steaming great beer and things like that to imbue some even better flavor. So I'm salivating just at the thought. Bruce, thank you so much. How long are you staying down in Oceanside?
We're here just for tonight, and then we drive back tomorrow. We have to go pick up Duke from my son's house. Duke has been
fighting. That's if my son will let him. Yeah, but yeah, you might find that Duke has found a new home and he doesn't want to go back because he's so cute.
I'm sure my grandson would like that. But Duke has had he's been fighting a bit of what they call kennel cough.
Oh, yes. Remember that.
So the funny thing was they put him on these meds, right? We got an antibiotic, and then they gave him a cough suppressant. And they said the cough suppressant could either make him really tired or really make him very wired. Well, when we first gave it to him, it knocked him out. He would sleep. And then yesterday morning when we gave it to him, he was like someone lit his tail on fire. He was so wound up. We were glad to drop him off and leave.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, the story. At least that will put a smile on your face, Bruce, just thinking about that.
Yeah, he's a good one. And we're here with Jillian and her husband, Seth, and our new grandson, Emmett, who, spending a lot of time with, which has really been great.
Very good. Well, please do pass on our very best from everybody in the Siren Radio family and Debbie and me. We will be together. We're having a bit of a hiatus next week. We'll tell everybody the week after why we're having a hiatus next week. So I look forward to you having a safe journey home, picking up Duke, everything getting and settling back down a bit. And we'll call you up in a fortnight's time if that's okay.
That sounds fantastic. I look forward to it. And hopefully I'll have this frog out of my throat and get back to normal when we get home.
Excellent. You take care and wrap up warm. But then you do that sort of thing so easily in California. From everybody here, our love to you and to Jackie.
And back at you. I hope everybody in Lincoln is staying safe and healthy.